Good morning. I would like to call to order the combination initial and final evaluation committee meeting for request for proposals, RFP number BLD 212-3540-P1, Building Automation System Services, County Facility. It is 10:02 a.m. on Thursday, June 9th, 2022. This meeting is accessible via Microsoft Teams conference, phone, or computer for the public and vendors. Members of the evaluation committee, the county employees required to attend this meeting at the direction of the purchasing division, are physically present at this meeting. I am Carolyn Messersmith, purchasing manager and non-voting committee chair. Please make sure that attendees' computer microphones and telephones are muted. All evaluation committee members are physically present in room 430 of the Governmental Center Building, 115 South Andrews Avenue in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The purchasing agent will record physical attendance here in room 430. Virtual attendance will be recorded in two ways. For attendees logging in by computer, please send a chat message with your name, your title, and the company you represent. For attendees joining by phone only, please email the purchasing agent, Randy Plunkett, at rplunkett@broward.org with a subject of EC meeting attendance, and indicate your name, your title, and the company you represent. This combination evaluation meeting will include presentations. In accordance with section 286.0113 of the Florida statutes and pursuant to the direction of the Broward County Board of Commissioners, presentations and subsequent question and answer period during evaluation committee meeting are closed. Only committee members, county staff, the vendor, and its team will be present in the Microsoft team meeting during virtual meeting room during a vendor's presentation and subsequent question and answer period. Before the presentation phase of this meeting commences, all other vendors, their accompanying teams, and members of the public will be asked to wait in the virtual lobby. Each vendor and their accompanying teams will be invited back into the virtual room when it is time for their presentation. In addition, at the beginning of all presentations, each vendor will be asked to confirm that there are no other individuals in the virtual room other than its team. All vendors, their accompanying teams, and members of the public will be invited back to the virtual room when all presentations and Q&A is completed, to be present when the committee votes and makes its selection. At this time, the purchasing division will make some introductory remarks about this project.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Randy Plunkett, the purchasing agent with the Broward County Purchasing Division. I would first like to introduce county staff who are present here today. Janice Carter from the Facilities Management Division, the project manager. Virtually is Sean O'Rourke, Facilities Management Division, the subject matter expert. Mary Moss with the Purchasing Division. Marlon Mahabir, Purchasing Division. Jeanette Farrell, Purchasing Division. Cindy Mati Rodriguez, Purchasing Division. Mark Roberts, Purchasing Division. Fernando A., County Attorney's Office. Matt Haber, County Attorney's Office. Lori Fortenberry, Finance Division. Colleen Purnell, the Risk Management Division. And I believe that completes the individuals attending the meeting. I didn't see him. I'm sorry. James Vos from the Office of Economic and Small Business Development. The solicitation was approved by the County Administrator on January 21st, 2022, by the authority provided by the Board of County Commissioners on December 14th, 2021, agenda item number 63. At the time of the RFP advertising deadline of 2 p.m. on March 9th, 2022, there were three submittals. Project staff has produced an information package including an evaluation matrix of the three submittals, and the information package has been distributed to the evaluation committee members for their review. This combination initial and final evaluation meeting has been publicly noticed. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We have a physical quorum present with the following evaluation committee members. EC members, please confirm your attendance by saying present after your name and title is called. Michael Cleary.
Present.
Supervisor Engineering Unit, Highway Construction Engineering Division, Public Works Department. Thank you. Todd Manning, Construction Project Management Supervisor, Construction Management Division, Public Works Department.
Present.
Thank you. Jeff White, Enterprise Assistant Director, Operations Division, Port Everglades Department.
Present.
Thank you. David Stouffer, Information Systems Manager, Enterprise Technology Services Division, Finance and Administrative Services Department.
Present.
Thank you. Ian Mitchell, Assistant Director, Facilities Management Division, Public Works Department.
Present.
Thank you. It is the responsibility of the Evaluation Committee to review the vendor's submittals to ensure they are in compliance with the solicitation requirements and evaluate the submittals in order to make a recommendation to the County Commission to award contracts. Each Evaluation Committee member was recommended by the Director of Purchasing and appointed by the County Administrator to serve on this panel. The Evaluation Committee consists of staff members chosen for their breadth of experience, excellent judgment, and general interest in the subject matter. The committee's final recommendation represents a collective judgment drawn from a wide range of insightful and discerning perspectives. As the non-voting committee chair, it is my responsibility to maintain order at this meeting. Collectively, the evaluation committee members are charged with following the county's established committee procedures in their effort to select vendors which provide the services required that are in the best interest of the county. At the discretion of the board, the evaluation committee members may be requested to substantiate their recommendation and discuss the review of the submittals. The purpose of today's meeting is to determine responsiveness and responsibility of the firms that submitted a proposal. Only those firms that have been determined by the evaluation committee to be both responsive and responsible to the RFP requirements will proceed to the final evaluation, presentation, scoring, and ranking. The cone of silence for this project has been in effect since February 10, 2022, which prohibits potential vendors from discussing this RFP with the evaluation committee. The county administrator, deputy county administrator, assistant county administrator, assistants to the county administrator, their respective support staff, and any other person authorized to evaluate or recommend selection in this RFP process. Based on the cone of silence ordinance revisions effective April 1st, 2022, the cone of silence expanded to include all commissioner offices and county staff except for those persons expressly expected from the definition of county staff. After the application of the cone of silence, all inquiries regarding this RFP should be directed to the project manager, Dennis Carter, the director of purchasing, or his designee. The cone of silence terminates when the county commission or other awarding authority takes action which ends the solicitation. During the time the cone of silence is in effect, vendors may communicate with a representative from the Office of Economic and Small Business Development at any time regarding a solicitation or participation of small business enterprise or County Business Enterprises. The summary of vendor rights regarding Broward County competitive solicitations has been provided to all proposing firms in the RFP. Please make sure that all of your phones and computers are muted. Thank you. In accordance with Broward County Procurement Code Section 2145A4, all committee members shall be free of conflict of interest as provided by Part 3, Chapter 112, Florida Statutes as amended, and the Broward County Employee Code of Ethics as amended. The appointing authority shall not appoint a person to a committee whose service would create the appearance of a conflict of interest. Each of the evaluation committee members submitted their required Broward County disclosure forms and responded they can be fair and impartial to all vendors. I would like to call on the purchasing division to report on their findings about responsiveness and responsibility of the firm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The advertised RFP had six responsiveness requirements involving compliance, including lobbyist registration certification form, acknowledgement of must addenda, price sheets, Domestic Partnership Act requirement, living wage requirements, and criminal history screening practices certification requirement. All three firms are being recommended to be evaluated as responsive to the lobbyist registration certification form, acknowledgement of must addenda, price sheets, Domestic Partnership Act requirement, living age requirements, and criminal history screening practices certification requirement. In the area of responsibility, the RFP contained a county business enterprise, CBE, participation goal requirement of 10%. To comply with this responsibility requirement, all firms are required to submit letters of intent and, if necessary, an application for evaluation of good faith effort. All three firms provided the required documentation and have therefore met the responsibility requirement of the RFP regarding CBE participation goals. There are nine other areas of responsibility in the RFP concerning disclosure of litigation history, financial documentation, authority to conduct business in the state of Florida, affiliated entities, proof of insurance, workforce investment program, technician certifications, licensing requirements, and hourly labor rate price sheet. The requirement for litigation history is a disclosure of 3 years of litigation history. Firms are required to disclose all material cases filed or resolved during the last 3 years. All three firms provided the required information. None of the three firms has litigation history with the county. Refer to the litigation review memoranda dated March 21st, 2022 for additional information. The RFP states that all firms are required to provide Broward County 2 years of the firm's financial statements to demonstrate the firm's financial capabilities and to cite the applicable statutory exemption to the public records law if confidentiality is asserted. Firms that did not submit complete financial statements or did not provide an applicable statutory exemption to the public record law as a basis for confidentiality are requested to provide the information. All three firms provided the required financial information as stated in the RFP. Refer to the financial review memoranda dated April 4th, 2022 for additional information. Firms are required to provide evidence of the response that the firm is authorized to transact business in Florida and is in good standing with the Florida Department of State. All three firms provided the documentation showing that they are authorized to transact business in Florida and are in good standing with the Florida Department of State. Firms are required to disclose the names and address of affiliated entities of the firm's principals over the last 5 years that have acted as a prime vendor with the county. All three firms submitted their affiliated entity certification form, and no firms indicated any affiliates. The RFP solicitation stated the insurance requirements deemed necessary for this project. All three firms provided the required documentation showing that they currently have insurance in place or can have the insurance in place prior to the award as required by the RFP. The RFP requires proposers to comply with the Workforce Investment Program. All three firms submitted their Workforce Investment Program certification. The RFP requires proposers to submit copies of proposed technicians' building automation systems manufacturer certifications. All three firms submitted technician certifications for BAS manufacturers. The RFP requires proposers to provide proof of licensing that they hold a current state of Florida license or electrical contractor or limited energy systems contractor or mechanical contractor or a Broward County license registered with the state for a master electrical contractor or limited energy systems specialty contractor or master's mechanical contractor. All three firms provided the required licensing as required by the RFP. The RFP requires proposers to submit the hourly labor rate price sheet, Exhibit B1 of the RFP. All three firms provided the required hourly labor rate price sheet as required by the RFP. The solicitation requires proposers to state whether they accept Broward County standard terms and conditions, or if they do not accept them, to define which contract provisions they cannot accept. Siemens Industry Incorporated is the only firm to have taken exception to Broward County standard terms and conditions. The specific exceptions taken will be addressed for all responsive and responsive firms prior to presentations at today's evaluation committee meeting. This information is for the consideration of the evaluation committee. EC members must consider all pertinent information when rendering a determination on responsiveness and responsibility. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Based on the purchasing division's report, is there any discussion or questions from the evaluation committee or project manager regarding the firm's submittals? Okay, seeing none. The next order of business will be to determine the responsiveness of the submittals. The procurement code definition of a responsive vendor is a vendor who submits a response to a solicitation that the director of purchasing determines meets all requirements of the solicitation as provided in section 2140 of the procurement code. Is there any discussion from the evaluation committee regarding determination of responsiveness of the firm? Okay, seeing no discussion by the evaluation committee, may I have a motion with respect to responsiveness of the firm's submittals?
Ian Mitchell, I would like to make a motion to find Climax Inc., DBA Mechanical Air Concepts, Jobs Controls Inc., Siemens Industry Inc., as responsive to all responsiveness requirements of the RFP.
May I have a second?
Todd Manning, second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes unanimously. The next item on the agenda will be a determination of responsibility of the firms that have submitted responses. The procurement code definition of a responsible vendor is a vendor who is determined to have the capability in all respects to perform fully the requirements of the solicitation, as well as the integrity and reliability that will ensure good faith performance as provided in section 21.94 of the procurement code. Is there any discussion from the evaluation committee regarding determination of responsibility of the firm? Seeing no discussion, may I have a motion with respect to responsibility of the firms?
Michael Cleary. I would like to make a motion defining all firms, including Climax, Doing Businesses, Mechanical Air Concepts, Johnson Controls, Inc., Siemens Industry, Inc., are all responsible based on the requirements of the RFP.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Jeff White, I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. All firms that have been determined to be both responsive and responsible to the RFP requirement. May I have a motion to accept the firms that have been determined to be both responsive and responsible and who will be proceeding to the second portion of this meeting for final evaluation, scoring, and ranking?
I'm sorry, could you repeat one more time?
Sure. May I have a motion to accept all firms that have been determined to be both responsive and responsible and who will be proceeding to the second portion of this meeting?
So, Ian Mitchell?
Just Fernando at the County Attorney's Office, an EC member who makes a motion, you could just say so moved if you wanted to save time.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to say. Yeah, so moved.
May I have a second?
Todd Manning, second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
As was previously stated, the RFP required proposers to state whether they accept Broward County's standard terms and conditions, or if they do not accept them, to define which contract provisions they cannot accept. Two of the three proposers accepted Broward County's standard terms and conditions and or waived exceptions. Johnson Controls Incorporated and Climax Incorporated, Doing Business as Mechanical Air Concepts, accepted all Broward County standard terms and conditions. One proposer, Siemens Industry Incorporated, has taken exception to the following standard terms and conditions of the county's agreement. The exceptions are Article 4, Section 4.4, for rates and terms, Article 6, Section 6.6, discriminatory vendor and scrutinized companies lists, countries of concern, Exhibit A, Section 2, Paragraph 2.7.2, planning services, Exhibit A, Section 2, planning services, Exhibit A, Section 5, optional services, and Exhibit I, ETS security requirements. Representatives from the County Attorney's Office and County staff are here to discuss these exceptions and answer any questions you may have. I'll now turn the meeting over to Matt Haber from the County Attorney's Office to discuss exceptions taken by the respondents and the county's response to each.
Good morning, this is Matt Haber from the County Attorney's Office. In the exceptions chart that has been distributed, the first exception taken was on section 4.4 of the agreement. This section concerns rates and terms, and the exception taken related to the proposed cost cap of a maximum change of 3% and instead making that 8%. This relates purely to a price term, which in all instances is a business decision and is therefore negotiable. The second exception was taken on section 6.6 of the agreement. This section deals with discriminatory vendor and scrutinized companies list, as well as countries of concern. The origin of this provision is based on state statutes and is required under state law. Therefore, it is not within the county's discretion to waive these requirements. As such, the exceptions taken to this provision are recommended for rejection. Another exception taken was not to the terms of the contract itself, but instead to Exhibit A2 of the agreement. It involves planned services, and the exception was taken to paragraph 2.7.2. The paragraph requires an initial response for an emergency call to be on site within 2 hours. And the exception requested that the initial response be allowed to be not just on site, but also online within 2 hours on a 24-hour day, 365 days a year basis. This is purely a business decision, and as such, it is negotiable. Another exception was taken to this same exhibit regarding planned services. That's Exhibit A2, and the exception was taken requesting an additional paragraph 2.15. The proposed language requests that the county may modify the planned services being provided at any time. These modifications may include, but are not limited to, elimination of services being provided, modifications to frequencies, addition of new services not currently being provided, such as but not limited to FDD, remote system interrogation, and SAS. The price adjustments required to achieve the modifications contemplated by this section will be agreed upon by the parties and will be comparable to the price for service being provided to other locations utilizing the same or comparable equipment. The purchasing director must approve any adjustment in price. Again, these are primarily business terms, and as such, the exception is negotiable. Moving on, the next exception was to Exhibit A5 to the agreement regarding optional services, and it requested the addition of a paragraph 5.1.8. The requested language states, implementation of advanced analytical solutions, such as but not limited to fault detection diagnostics, or FDD, software as a service, or SAS, remote system analysis and monitoring. Once again, this is a business decision, and it is negotiable. The final exception was taken to Exhibit I. This is the ETS security requirements and rights that is appended to the agreement. Because this exception deals with the security requirements of the county's network and systems, it was recommended that this exception be rejected. That is all of the exceptions taken to this agreement.
Thank you, Matt. Do we have any questions from the evaluation committee?
Yeah, Ian Mitchell. So are we going to give Siemens an opportunity to respond to whether or not they would would like to move forward?
Yes, we can. Do we have a representative from Siemens that can bind the firm for these exceptions for the terms and conditions?
Yes, this is Joe Sumlin with Siemens Industry, Inc. I'm the branch general manager. I have the ability to bind the company, and we would still like to move forward.
So section 6.6, which is non-negotiable, are you willing to waive that exception?
Yes.
Okay, so waive. For exception, Exhibit I, ETS security requirements, which is non-negotiable, are you willing to waive that requirement?
Yes, at this time.
Okay.
The one comment Siemens would have is, in order to add the additional services that are contemplated earlier in the contract, modifications to that document will be required and have been accepted by the Broward County's IT department under previous contracts, allowing FDD and analytics.
Is the evaluation?
That's negotiable, though. I believe that's negotiable, right? Isn't that...
That was non-negotiable. Exhibit IETS security?
Yeah, but what he mentioned was the advanced analytics, and that's the previous one, and that says negotiable. That's exhibit A5. Is that right, Joe? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, but in order to do FTD and analytics, the ITS document has to be modified. So it can be... Siemens will accept it as is with the scope as is, but at a future date, if the county would like to add the FTD and analytics, which the other terms are allowing, we'll have to revisit the ITS document.
Matt, I'd like to ask you to weigh in on that, or Fernando.
This is Matt. I'm happy to weigh in. That sounds reasonable. Again, what we're talking about right now is Exhibit I. It's the ETS security requirements, and those security requirements are, what's the verb I'm looking for? Those security requirements are maintained and in the jurisdiction of ETS, the county agency. And so my understanding, and I'd ask the Siemens representative to correct me if I'm misunderstanding, but my understanding is that for the standard basic services scope of this agreement, they being Siemens, is able to provide the services with the current ETS terms in Exhibit I. If the optional services are later requested by county, the optional services that might be added as a potential optional service under the exception to A5, then we might need to revisit with ETS Exhibit 9. But again, my main question is just if the Siemens representative could confirm that the basic services under this agreement can be provided under the pre-existing current Exhibit I.
Exactly. Yes, and to add to that, Siemens has negotiated modification to the ETS document allowing the additional services to be used. And that document that was already pre-negotiated with ETS was labeled a master modification between Siemens and the county.
Okay, thank you. Evaluation Committee, Section 6.6, that was originally stated as non-negotiable. Siemens has waived that one. And Exhibit ETS security requirements rights, that was previously non-negotiable. They have waived that with the provision of optional services if they come into play. Everything else is negotiable. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Todd Manning, I had a question on the rates and terms. It says that changing the proposed cap from 3% to a maximum change of 8%. So I'm assuming that's allowing the parties to negotiate up to a maximum of 8%. So it could be less than that. We're not agreeing to an 8% increase. It's just up to that amount.
That is correct. It's negotiable higher than 3%, not more than 8%.
Right, thank you.
This is Joe with Siemens, if I may. It's tied to CPI directly, so it's not negotiated for the contract terms. It's CPI with a cap of 8%.
Yeah, but currently, Joe, it's tied to CPI with a cap of 3%, and that's what you're asking for, right, is for that cap to be moved up to 8%.
Yes, sir.
So that's negotiable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other questions? As this is a combination of the initial and final evaluation committee meeting, all firms were notified prior to today's meeting that they should be prepared to provide a 15-minute presentation to the evaluation committee. followed by an unlimited question and answer period. At the conclusion of the question and answer period, the next presenter will have up to 10 minutes for setup. The timekeeper will be the purchasing agent, Randy Plunkett. Due to this Microsoft Teams meeting format, firms were asked to provide their presentation and any supplemental electronic handouts to the purchasing division prior to this meeting. The presentations and supplemental information received has been distributed to the EC members. In the interest of time, the county completed the random list generator for the order of presentations ahead of time, and all firms were notified. Random list generator was recorded for reference. The order of the vendor presentations is as follows. The first presenter is Siemens Industry Incorporated. The second presenter is Johnson Controls Incorporated. And the third presenter is Climax Inc., doing business as Mechanical Air Concepts. You will see that on the screen, the random list organizer. At this time, we ask the first presenter, Siemens Industry Incorporated, to proceed to the closed meeting invitation in Microsoft Teams for setup. You will have 10 minutes for your team to set up. All other presenting firms, their accompanying teams, and members of the public are requested to remain in the open Microsoft Teams meeting. Purchasing staff will notify the next presenting firm by email when their time is to present.
Good morning.
So we do have an echo.
Good morning.
Just bear with us for a second because we have an echo in the room.
Very good. Is it possible, Randall, that you can invite the conference room to the meeting that I sent you?
FDI.
Yeah, that's it.
Purchasing, could you list the participants panel
on the screen?
On the screen?
On the screen.
Thank you.
Sir, could we just check your audio again?
Marlon, can you hear me? Jeanette, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you.
Yes, I hear you.
Thank you.
Who do we have on the line from Siemens?
This is Joe Summerlin with Siemens. I'm the branch general manager. I have Alex Gonzalez, who is our service operations manager, in the room with me, and Brad Ayers, who's our account executive for the account, in the room with me.
Joe, did you say you wanted another invite?
Yes, sir. There was a conference room that I had sent you an email link for. If you could add those to the invite, it would be a little beneficial, not required. It just allows us to use the monitors and the camera in the room.
Can I ask you to add those email addresses to the chat? I do not have those currently on me.
To the chat? Okay, so there were... give me 1 second.
While you're doing that, Joe, I'd like you to look at the participants panel. That's the county staff that's attending this meeting, and compare it to the list of presenters and county staff that's in the Teams meeting, and make sure no one else is in the Teams meeting other than your staff and county staff.
I confirm that.
Can you repeat that?
I confirm that.
Thank you.
Nobody else is in a meeting besides Siemens and county staff.
Okay. Okay, you'll have 10 minutes from now to set up.
Very good. Randy, did you see the email in the chat?
Yes, I did. I'm sending that. I'm just waiting for the system to allow me to do so. Sorry, the system seems not like your email address, so I'm still waiting on it.
Okay, we can proceed without it. That's fine. It's not a problem. I'll go ahead and share our presentation at this time then.
Yes, please.
You have to allow me permission to share.
Okay. It's been granted.
You should be seeing my presentation at this time.
We do.
Okay, so I'm ready to begin when county staff is.
Okay, just give us a moment to get seated. Okay. Okay, you affirmed that there's no other individuals, including sub-consultants, in the meeting other than your team, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. You may begin. You have 15 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody in attendance. I appreciate your time today. My name is Joe Sumlin. I'm with Siemens Industry, Inc. I'm the local branch general manager here. Our office is located in Miramar, Florida. As you can see, we're a fairly large company. We do approximately $17 billion a year in orders. We have approximately 40,000 employees here locally in the United States. And we have branch offices in all 50 states. So in the Florida area, we have 5 field offices with a total of just over 600 employees. Here locally in the Miramar office, we have 180 employees available to service your facilities and your sites. These employees include specialties in mechanical services, building automation services, fire alarm and security services. Also, we specialize in doing energy management and energy conservation projects out of this office. Assigned to the Broward County contract, we have a team of 12 people. You can see here on your screen, these are the same 12 staff members that are currently working in your facilities performing these services for you. Together, these four members represent 180 years of combined service to the in the industry. Let's see, that they are currently providing these services for your buildings, and you can see there in the blue section that staff is pretty much dedicated to Broward County. The staff that's half in the blue and half out of the blue section, they're partially assigned to Broward County, so they have other responsibilities as well. And then myself as a general manager over everything here locally. Right. So Siemens took over this account, providing these services approximately 5 years ago. At that time, there were various building automation systems in your various buildings, some of them on your network, some of them off the county network. The majority of them were proprietary. So you can see here there was a JCI ADS talking proprietary communication to JCI buildings. You had a train tracer system talking proprietary. You have various systems throughout the various buildings all talking proprietary. You also had a Siemens Insight, which was communicating proprietary to the Siemens system, along with some BATNet systems. So at that time, it was decided to migrate the system to an enterprise type building management system. So over the last 5 years, Siemens and county staff have been working together to migrate to an enterprise level building management system. And we've worked inside this existing contract alongside two other existing contracts Siemens has with the county in order to start migrating over to an enterprise building management system using BATNet as an open source communication standard. And then we also are in the infancy of starting to use Siemens Navigator and analytics engine. So what that will allow the county to do is transfer data from the county buildings to a cloud, run analytics, and do remote automatic preventative maintenance. So it allows you to reduce your overall spend in the long term on your preventative maintenance. It also allows you to provide a faster, better response to your customers. So instead of checking a sensor manually once a year by a Siemens employee or a county employee, we're able to check your sensors every single night, know where we have to go, what we have to do, and how to respond. So that a lot of the changes we asked for in the terms and conditions or to allow us to continue to implement this service for the county to reduce your overall spend in the long term, right? So, you know, Siemens' goal beyond meeting the contractual obligations that are laid out is to continue our long-term partnership with Broward County, which started in 1982 at the Broward Main Library and has continuously grown over the last 40 plus years. So, you know, it's important to us that we don't just deliver the services you're asking for and this contract, but we watch out for your better interest for the long term, help you get to where you want to go, help deliver that division or that vision of saving energy, delivering faster responses to your customers, and having your buildings perform better overall. Right? So this truly is where we wanted to spend time talking to the staff about what we have. And then after this was the exceptions we took to the language. We've already discussed those, so at that time, done with the presentations, and we're ready to take questions.
You still have a little more than 8 minutes for your presentation.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You still have a little more than 8 minutes left for your presentation if you want to take the time.
I believe it popped up, so we had 2 minutes left. Randall put 2 minutes. Was that 2 minutes?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. It was a long timer. You do have a little more.
Okay.
Minutes. Sorry about that.
you have 8 minutes, 30 seconds.
Okay, not a problem. Okay. So the only thing we'd like to find out is the ETS document and the changes we're asking for in that document. And they're just to allow us to better deliver services to the county. And we have reached mutual terms of that in the past. So we're good with that.
Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Evaluation committee, do you have questions for Siemens?
Yeah, Ian Mitchell. I have a question. So, Joe, can you provide some examples, large, preferably, of migrations that you performed by local staff?
Large migrations performed by local staff?
Yeah.
Within the county or outside the county?
Doesn't matter.
So within the county, we've supported the migration of the public safety building to InSight and also to DeZeger. I'm sorry, go ahead, Alex.
West Regional Courthouse as well.
West Regional Courthouse. Go ahead, what else have we done in the county? North Regional Courthouse, South Regional Courthouse.
Courthouse, we have partial EOC.
Can you hear Alex? He said partial EOC.
And how many, let me clarify, how many physical points were they? Over 100, over 200?
Upwards of 1,000, yes.
I'd say tens of thousands of points in total have been migrated over. Additionally, we're in the process of doing the performance contract project for the county, which is the migration of about 40 buildings, I believe, into the DeZeger CC platform and to the Navigator platform.
Okay. And then, obviously, you know, we have a few systems on the contract that are integrated with our smoke evacuation system. And so we will need to update the hardware and integrate, you know, current software systems. Describe the process and experiences that you have in doing this.
So we've done several of these for the county and outside the county. It depends on, first thing we have to do is do an evaluation of the current system, what you have in the building. If the system is not BACnet, Typically, it's going to be obsolete, and we're going to work with the county on a migration path where we're able to partially migrate the system over to a BatNet platform and then move it over to DeZego a portion at a time, similar to what we're doing with the, I believe it's the North Courthouse building, or I'm sorry, the government center. The government center, we have a partial migration in place where we've set it up where the new BatNet system is able to communicate with the existing obsolete proprietary system and migrate over to DeZego a couple floors at a time over multiple years. Alternatively, at the EOC, we did basically a rip and replace where over a 6-month period, we removed the existing system, we installed Siemens system, and now it's time to, once the mechanical equipment is repaired, it's time to go in and do a test of the smoke evacuation system. We did the Broward Main Library where we started by replacing the fuel panels. Then we came back through under a separate project. We replaced the network for the panels and then migrated that over as well. So, you know, it depends what funds are available to do the migration and what equipment is currently in place on what the migration looks like.
Okay, thank you. And then, you know, understanding the staffing levels requirements of this contract, what are your plans for retaining staff, training staff, and making sure that we always have, you know, service available, or you guys are providing the appropriate level of service for us?
Yes. So the staff that's being shown now is our current staffing level that's assigned to the contract. This staff does not do projects. On top of this team, which is a service team, we have a separate team for doing projects, and we also have two open positions for staff that's experienced in third-party equipment, and we keep those positions open, and we're continuously hunting to fill those. We're actually about to solicit a third-party recruiter to drive it, which would push us over one headcount and what we need to deliver, not only to you as for third-party systems, but we do third-party service for other customers such as Memorial Hospital and University of Miami. So it's not only for Broward County, but we drive to stay overstaffed with that expertise.
Okay, and the chart that you're showing me, that those are dedicated to that contract?
These people that are up here that are in the blue box, they're dedicated to the contract, except for, let me say, Paul Shade has some accounts outside the contract.
Okay, thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mitchell. Are there questions from other evaluation committee members?
Yeah, Todd Manning. And my question may need to be answered by a combination of facilities management and Siemens. I'm curious, as you've outlined some of these migrations that you are implementing with our buildings, how does a change in vendors then affect that migration that is currently taking place if we decide to go with a different vendor with regard to these migrations? Like I said, a combination of facilities management and Siemens could answer that question.
Would you prefer Siemens or facilities management to go first?
You go ahead. Yeah, go ahead and answer that, please, Joe. And then we have subject matter expert Sean Horrock for facilities, and he could perhaps provide the response as well. Go ahead first, Orlando. Sorry, Joe.
No problem. So the similar to our competitors, the software package, in this case, the DeZego CC and Navigator, those are, you're only going to be able to get that from Siemens, right? So if you were to go with, say, one of the various vendors available, you would basically be starting over to migrate to a new EMS platform. Would be the short answer of it. In order to continue the migrations, to take advantage of what we currently have using an open communication standard backnet and moving to the Zego front end, you would need to stay with Siemens as the migration partner. Theoretically, you could use somebody to provide the services in the building and then somebody else as your migration partner. You probably end up with quite a bit of finger pointing and back and forth. And then also with the navigator or the analytic engine, which is cloud-based, you would need to start over with a new vendor. Right? So everything we've done to date, you would lose that portion of it. Or conversely, you could end up back where you were 5+ years ago, where you have a very disconjointed system and you have JCI ADS monitoring some buildings, you have a Trend Tracer monitoring some, you have a Siemens Insight monitoring some buildings, and you just have multiple systems, no one place to look at the system, no way to develop a single power user for a system, right? And no way to know who to call when it comes time for service. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you, and I wouldn't mind hearing from our subject matter expert as well, Sean O'Rourke.
I do not see him in the meeting.
I thought I saw him up there.
I think he's in the open. Might still be in the open session, so if we could reach out to him and have him join the closed session, if you'll bear with us, if we can take care of that.
So if you don't mind, Siemens would like to present. Can I present a separate presentation to help answer that question or help show the gentleman where we were driving as a whole?
If that'll better answer
absolutely.
The question?
Sure, that's fine with me.
Okay.
I'm fine.
So this is a presentation that was provided to county staff up to Scott Campbell, the division director. So at this presentation, Siemens discussed what an integrated building solution would look like in the evolution of a building management system into an integrated building platform. So in here, you can see several years ago, if you go back in time, 15, 20 years ago, you had a facilities director, and he cared about a couple things. He cared about temperature for the tenants. He cared about alarms, and he cared about his schedule. As time went on, we added user groups to the BMS platform, and to the point where today, everybody down to the occupants can have input on the integrated building solution. So there are solutions today where if you are sitting in that conference room can vote through your phone using an app, whether you're warm or you're cold. So if one person is cold but everybody else is comfortable, there'll be no changes to the space temperature. If everybody is warm and one person's cold, it'll bump up the temperature in that space a degree or two. So those solution sets exist out in the market, and in order to get there, you've got to drive to a common platform. And that decision was made several years back within the county to do that. So what that looks like is what you're seeing here with the Zego IBS or EBMS sitting up on the top level, and then integrating third-party devices whether it be your HVAC controls, your lighting controls, your security system, an IoT platform that's tracking how many people are in the building, where they're moving, the traffic in the building, and you bring that data back to a single platform, and then you make decisions based on the overall data. So specifically a building management system, you have a controller controlling the HVAC, but the important part of it is the enterprise platform which sits on top and bringing everything to that single platform. So this presentation goes on a little bit beyond what the gentleman asked, but I think that might have helped a little bit.
I have to question.
Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Sorry to drag you in here.
That's all good.
You weren't part of the Siemens presentation they just completed, but the question that I had, which when I asked the question, I said it probably need to be a combination response between facilities management and Siemens to respond to it. So hence, that's why we asked you to come in. We were discussing the migration of the current systems into the DeSego Siemens system, and my question evolved around, if we decide to go with a separate vendor in this particular procurement, how does that affect your current migration? And Siemens just responded indicating that it would be, in my words, a setback, having to go back and you would not be able to proceed with the DeSego systems, if I understood that correctly. So maybe you could shed some light on that question with what would happen if we did go with a different vendor, and how that would affect this current migration that you're going through?
It would just require us to use Siemens as an integrator to then bring in the other vendors into that platform. So they would just become a front-end integration vendor.
Well, so to ask another question then, so the enterprise software that Siemens has presented. Mm-hmm. So are you saying then that, you know, we have the BACnet, which is the main communications, right, of all these different systems, right? And that goes to the enterprise software, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we didn't go with Siemens and we had, and we didn't, you know, we have our current migration that's going on, I'm not sure I understand where another vendor would fall into that. So would that be, would we be using their enterprise software instead of Siemens? And Siemens would be like a translation, or for lack of a better term, a translation between the BACnet and?
Our relationship with Siemens would become more of an integrator at that point, and we would be bringing in the enterprise into the integration. But if we're going to continue with the migration of doing with the DeSego, we could still keep the DeSego no matter which vendor it is, as long as we kept Siemens as an integrator bringing in those points.
I got you. So the other firms would overlap or be on top of the Siemens system, right? So we would see the third party, for lack of a better term, the third party vendors enterprise software, but beneath that would be Siemens that would integrate the points.
Yes, correct. So that way we only have one place to go look at everything, instead of, as we are right now, we have seven different places we have to go to.
Right. Okay, I believe I understand. I just want to make sure.
Michael Cleary, I have a question, follow-up. That would make Siemens a sole proprietor, and then they would be ineligible for this contract.
The integration would already be a part of the sole source contract, which is a separate contract.
So we already have a sole separate contract.
That is correct.
Right, but that's just for different buildings, right? That wouldn't include the buildings that we're talking about here.
Well, this building that we're currently in is actually a part of the sole source contract as well.
I'm sorry, this building?
Yeah, the one we're in, where the servers are at, yes.
No, what I mean is that, you know, under this contract that we have, under this contract that's being solicited,
mm-hmm.
Those buildings are not part of the sole source contract.
That's correct.
Okay, so we have
already Siemens buildings that are already sole-sourced. Now, the ones, if we move forward with Siemens, for example, mm-hmm. and we continue with the migration and we had Siemens provide their enterprise software to all the other buildings that are not currently under the sole source, will that then make them become sole source buildings?
No, they would be open because of the BACnet enterprise software that we'd be using.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify. So moving, if we had to move forward with Siemens and they provide this enterprise software, that wouldn't make them sole source. That won't make the system sole source, is that?
What guarantees they're going to provide the software if somebody else is selected?
The Zego software, the county owns it. You don't need to buy it from us any longer.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Navigator analytics that's in the cloud. Is that not proprietary?
That is, sir. And that's the case with all vendors currently. They're a hosted solution where the data is moved to a mass storage device.
But that's still an option. That's still an option, correct? We don't have to go through with that. That's not what we're providing the basic services under this contract for.
That's correct.
That puts us back 5 years,
not though. Part of this.
Wait a second.
Yeah, correct?
I didn't hear the question.
The question
so
is...
To elaborate a little bit on what Sean said, that if you were to go with another vendor, say you went right now, you have Johnson as one of your vendors listed. So this building currently sitting here, can you see my mouse at this time?
Can you see
this building that's sitting here? You can see it's proprietary and communicating
Joe,
to the backbone.
I'm sorry, Joe. Yeah. No, we can't see your mouse. And could you speak a little louder?
I could see. So, can you see my mouse at this time? I have other people.
No, we cannot. But if you could also speak a little louder.
Okay. So, no, it's not that. It's just, so the in the bottom left hand corner of the slide that's currently showing, there's a building. That building is talking proprietary legacy to the JCI Medisys, the JCI ADS. The JCI ADS does not have the capability of talking BACnet. So they have to install a translator panel, an NAE, in a building to be able to talk BACnet up to your EBMS. Okay? If they were to migrate a building over that's proprietary only at this time, they would require keeping their ADS in place along with your EBMS. You would end up with both systems. The county staff would only need to use the Zego platform, but you would end up with an ADS server.
Are there additional questions, Mr. Cleary? No. Other evaluation committee members, do you have questions?
Yeah, if we're done with that thread, David Stouffer, I had a question. In this day and age of all the cybersecurity and ransomware, how is the county able to validate, and maybe this is a question for our staff too, but Siemens is, making a zero-day exploit. The patches are being applied in a timely manner. In your documents, you said you do that, but how do we know, how are we able to verify and validate that those patches have been applied in a timely manner and you're taking all the steps necessary to secure and make sure that the full network is as secure as it possibly can be?
Very good, sir. So can you see the red dot now?
Yep, yeah.
Okay, so right here you see the firewall?
Yes, sir.
So everything on the other side of the firewall is on the county's network. And the county has actually just recently set up a BMS network on a
what do you call that? A VLAN. Sorry about that. So the county recently set up a VLAN, and with Siemens Health, we migrated the BMS panels and all the facilities over to that VLAN. And so that's a separate virtual network that resides on top of the county's hardware network. So that's how we secure everything on this side of the firewall, right? So anything the county typically would secure, or how they secure, it's the exact same way. Now, for the navigator and analytics portion, that's specifically the conversations we had with your IT department and ETS to go over how we would secure it, how we notify the county. If there is a breach, there's a federal site. Siemens logs all of our breaches and our patches when they're available on any issues we have with our system. If you, anybody in the county can log on to that system and register to get emails. So as soon as the patch is available, an email goes out to county staff letting them know we have a vulnerability and what that patch is, and Siemens comes and installs it. Additionally, we use, it's called CRSP, a common remote services platform, to communicate between the navigator engine and the county's network. Right? That same CRSP communication we use with tens of thousands of customers, and it came from our medical division inside hospitals, mostly down to MRI machines to get data and to be able to do patches and repairs remotely on MRI machines. The county IT department has fully evaluated that solution set over months, and we've been deemed as a usable system. However, it does require changes to that document, mostly around allowing us to move county data out of the county and over the network and into a storage device. So I believe there was also the notification system to tell the county in the event of a known issue, how that notification would go. I believe is also modified in the ATS document.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for Siemens?
I have a question, clarification question for Sean, actually. Sean, so is it fair to say then that any of the other vendors, if they wanted to bring enterprise software to do something similar to what Siemens is doing, we would kind of be on hold with them for their would we be independent of them, or would we have to, future down the road, maybe another 10 years from now, if we've already migrated to their enterprise software, we would then have to do an integrator as well, right? Would we be in the same position with any other vendor that we would be in with Siemens?
Yeah, we put the migration on hold where we're at now, and we'd have to cross that bridge of seeing what kind of integration they would have, and then possibly go with that as well.
And if we went with that, we would still have the same situation, right, whereby we would be holding to them to provide the software if we wanted to change another vendor at some point in the future.
Correct. But anything that's currently on the integration is ours because we own it. So gotcha. Anything that's there now would still be ours.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm good now.
Yes. Anybody you select as your EBMS vendor, you will be tied to the same way you are currently tied to Siemens. And keep in mind that there's significant advantages of this section to the county, right? Because you're taking the preventive maintenance piece that you're currently doing manually, and you're automating it. And you're able to look for trends and problems and data sets that you just can't do on a local level. And it allows you to do comparison of all the room temperature sensors in a facility every 15 minutes, every night, right? And then you can find the outlier sensor, and you know that outlier needs to be serviced instead of going through 300 sensors four times a year, which is what you're currently asking us to do. So right now we're going through 400 sensors four times a year. Each sensor is 15 minutes for us to check it, and you're paying for that time. So Siemens solution set is to drive away from that. And even with that, I can check a sensor now, and in 10 minutes it can be broken. So it may or may not, be the best solution set. So by moving to an analytic or an FTD engine, you're able to remotely diagnose it and just go out, fix, repair that one sensor.
Thanks. Any additional questions? Project manager, do you have any questions? Okay. All right, thank you for your presentation, and the question and answer period is now concluded. The first presenter, Siemens Industry Incorporated, has now completed their presentation and answered all questions by the evaluation committee. As the team is leaving the meeting, would the purchasing representative invite the second presenter, Johnson Controls Incorporated, to the meeting to set up for their presentation. Thank you very much. Joe.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Good morning, Johnson Controls. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I can hear you.
If you could, there's a list of county participants on the left-hand side of your screen. That's the evaluation committee members and other staff that may be in the meeting. If you can compare that with the list of the team's participants, which should be on the right side of your screen, and verify that only county staff and members of your team are in the meeting, and there's no one else in the meeting. And then if you'll let me know who is presenting, and I can add you as a presenter.
Joshua Bohorquez will be presenting.
Okay, you've been made a presenter. And again, can you confirm there's no one else in the meeting other than the participants that you see on the right side of your screen?
I have confirmed that there is only board members and our team.
Okay, you can confirm that? Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, you have 10 minutes to set up for your presentation. The time starts now.
Thank you. John, would you like to be made a presenter just in case?
Yes, I can do that. Hold on just one moment.
Thank you.
Okay, he is also a presenter.
Is my presentation viewable?
We can see your presentation.
Awesome.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, we can see a presentation. It says Broward County Solicitation Number.
Great.
Let us know when you're ready to present.
Okay. John, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
All right, you're ready.
Is everyone ready?
Johnson Controls is ready.
Okay. You may start. You have 15 minutes to present.
All right. Hello and good morning, everyone. First off, on behalf of Johnson Controls, I'd like to thank the board for your time today and for the opportunity to bid for the building of the automation system services for the Broward County facilities. To briefly introduce myself, my name is Joshua Horquez. I'm an account representative for Johnson Controls, and I'm here with my branch service manager, John Granicki. John, is there anything you'd like to say before we kick this off?
Good morning, everybody.
I'm sorry, could you speak a little louder? It's very hard to hear you.
Yeah, absolutely. Does it sound better?
No.
No?
No.
Check, 1, 2. Mic check. Check, 1, 2.
We can hear you if you could just speak louder. That's all.
Okay. All right. So with that, we'll kick off the presentation. First things, we thought it would be pertinent to go over some of the evaluation criteria that we included with the bid solicitation and expand upon some of our responses. And first, we would like to introduce the Johnson Controls service team. Here we have an organizational chart of the factory-trained control service team. I know there's a lot of names here, but I'd like to call out Rich O'Donnell up at the top. He is our service manager who will be handling this contract, and the resources from this team will be used to support the service efforts. I would also like to call out Richard Calorino and Ricardo Bell. We are looking to implement them as the primary and secondary technician to maintain and provide services as prescribed in the bid solicitation. Here we have our factory trained controls retrofit team. This is a team headed by Robin Ali, and resources from this team will be used to support the retrofit and upgrade efforts as prescribed under optional services. We have two separate teams as to not interrupt our service as prescribed in the bid solicitation. John, is there anything you would like to add about our service teams?
No, I think you pretty much captured it.
All right. And to move on to the ability of our professional personnel, this is the team assigned to this service contract. It is comprised of a project manager and a team of JCI factory trained medicine technicians. There will also be back office support for dispatching and scheduling, et cetera. I would like to highlight Rich O'Donnell. He is the project manager covering this contract. Previous to joining Johnson Controls, Rich was actually a facilities manager and an end user of Medisys, which makes him a great advocate of the customer. I'd also like to highlight Richie Calorino. He is our senior controls technician. He has 30 years with Johnson Controls and is well-versed in all generations of Medisys products. Moreover, Richie was a lead technician working with the county facilities when JCI was a partner to the county prior to the current service provider. I'd also like to call out Rick Bell. He is a controls technician that has 5 years with Johnson Controls and over 10 years of controls in the industry experience. He will be shadowing Richie as he gets familiar with all of the county facilities. I would also like to call out Marcus Lamberti. Although he's a new Johnson Controls technician, he previously worked for Siemens, giving us the ability to support the Siemens products listed in the bid solicitation. Last but not least, I have John Bernecki. I'll let him talk about himself here.
Okay, thanks, Josh. So, John Gronecki, I'm the branch service manager for Johnson Controls. I have well over 30-plus years in the controls industry, having served with both Siemens for the last 26 years and for the last 6 years, with JCI. So I'm well-versed in the product lines from both companies, and all things service fall under my purview.
Thanks, John. To wrap up this slide, just want to mention that the technician team that we have has an average tenure of 16 years with Johnson Controls, and several of our team members, notably Richie Calorino, have in-depth knowledge of the county buildings, the personnel, and your critical systems, having formerly worked at these locations under a previous contract. Moving on to our project approach, here we'll discuss how we're going to leverage Johnson Controls' industry-leading expertise to provide service as described in the bid solicitation. So the majority of the equipment covered under this solicitation is Johnson Controls Medisys. Being the OEM, we feel we are best suited to deliver superior service and support for this equipment. We have also identified some local vendors with expertise in Siemens and the other building automation systems listed for purposes of supporting those as a need arises. We will also utilize our industry-leading products, our experienced manpower and expertise to help the county and partner with the county to achieve their goals as outlined in the bid. This is not limited to, but includes the repairs as needed, executing prescribed planned maintenance, continuous oversight of the building automation systems, and making recommendations for upgrades and improvements, and executing any optional hardware upgrades and retrofits as needed by the county. Also, first and foremost, Johnson Controls demonstrates a culture of safety. We complete a pre-job safety checklist prior to the start of each unique task. This checklist is electronic and tracked in real time, and each of our technicians are audited for compliance. Regarding reactive service, we have a Oracle-based scheduling and dispatching software where we enter all of the assets covered under the scope of work for the purposes of scheduling prescribed maintenance. During normal business hours, we have a toll-free number that will reach our local dispatch center in Miramar. You'll most likely speak to our dispatcher, Jackie Albertini. And for any after-hours service, our remote operations center, otherwise known as the ROC, also has access to the Oracle database. And this allows for a seamless handoff between our local dispatch team and our after-hours ROC. Here we have a flowchart of a typical service call and the process for that. Apologies if this is kind of hard to read, but I would like to call out in the top right, our technicians document for every service call the problem, the cause, and the solution found into an electronic service ticket. And that electronic service ticket will be reported and sent to Broward County via email for your records. Regarding scheduled service, we will be leveraging our Medisys performance verification tool, and to utilize that, we'll be providing a robust scheduled maintenance plan that provides detailed value reporting. This includes system benchmarking, system-specific tasking that allows for capturing data relative to our maintenance activities. Most importantly, an ongoing summary of maintenance progress for use in our regularly scheduled meetings with county personnel. and we can also capture recommendations for operational and system improvements. John, is there anything you would like to add before we move on to PVT?
No, I think we're good. Let's move on.
All right. So I'm going to let John take away here with the Medisys Performance Verification Tool and how it's a great asset for Broward County.
Okay, thanks, Josh. Okay, so we looked at the list of equipment covered under the scope of this contract and determined that 75 to 85% of that equipment is Johnson Controls equipment. And as a result, we felt that we could leverage our fairly new tool, the Medisys Performance Verification Tool, to help execute the scope of the agreement and help to achieve the county's desired end result. So there's three key components to the PVT tool: the performance scan, the inventory scan, and the tasking report. Now, this tool can be run online, which would be the optimal method, or we can use a current backup of the system if, for whatever reason, we're not permitted to connect to the county's network and run the tool online. And next slide, please. So just to go over the three key components of the tool, first is the performance scan. The performance scan helps to identify any abnormal or off-normal device conditions for the service technician, which would then allow us to pinpoint our activities to make sure we are keeping the system optimized. Next slide, please. Here's just a close-up, and this is a small portion of the performance scan. There's different categories, different aspects of the system are analyzed. You can see here a screen capture of the maintenance and reliability section. And I think interesting to point out here being that you have multiple vendors sitting on your IP backbone within the county, the duplicate BACnet IDs. The system will scan and identify where we have duplicate BACnet IDs. This is important because that having multiple BACnet devices using the same instance ID could cause communication errors. The other interesting piece about this is the operator overriding. So we all know if you override something on and it's on 24/7, it could be wasting energy. Conversely, if you override something off and it remains off when it should be on, cycling on and off, it could cause a building occupant discomfort. So this is another great way to quickly pinpoint where those situations may lie. Next slide, please. So again, the performance scan also helps us identify the alarm and event activity, and can assist in us pinpointing where the alarms, the events are originating from and helping to resolve the situation. You want to keep your alarms to a minimum, because when everything becomes an alarm, then it tends to get ignored. So this is a great tool to help us do that. Go ahead and hit the next slide. Here's just a close-up, a graphical depiction of the alarms, what the priority of the alarms are, and then in a tabular format, it gives us the same information. Next slide. The second component to the PVT is the inventory scan. This is a great feature. The technician can run the inventory scan. It essentially gives us a document showing us every device that comprises the building automation system, shows us the status of the device, the IP address, the MAC address, rev levels, et cetera, et cetera. Go ahead to the next screen. All right. So this information can be given in a riser view as well as a tabular format, as you see here. There's multiple fields of information per device, and this inventory goes from supervisory devices to field controllers all the way down to the point level. So it's a great way for us to provide the county with an accurate inventory of what they have, and it also accommodates limited accommodation to any third-party BACnet devices as well. Next slide. The last component of the PVT is the tasking report. So we can originate the tasking report directly from the inventory scan. And what this does is it automatically creates a workbook that we would utilize to direct our scheduled service efforts, and it's system-based. So the system goes out, the PVT tool will retrieve all the systems, all the components that make up your building automation system, and create custom task sheets that are specific, germane to those specific systems. Our technicians then use this as a living document, and they will complete the tasking. As seen here, we see a couple examples, one for a VFD, one for an air handler. And this document then is provided to the county as evidence of the work being done. We can do this on a you know, whatever frequency is needed, and certainly at the end of the year to show all the good work that we've done for the county.
All right, thanks, John. Moving on, one of the evaluation criteria was past performance, and here we'll be talking about some of our current satisfied customers within the South Florida area. Notably, I mentioned Florida Atlantic University, Florida International University, and Telemundo Miami. These are some of the customers that we service throughout the South Florida area. I noted these three as the contracts include a similar scope of work. For Florida Atlantic University, we service six different campuses on a quarterly basis. This includes sensor calibration, system diagnostic reports. We also provide insight for possible enhancements using our BAS expertise, PDT, and our constantly evolving medicine software. For FIU, we service over 40 different buildings and locations across FIU campuses. All of these sites contain medicine hardware. And alongside the annual preventative maintenance, we provide annual updates of the medicine software. And for Telemundo, we've had a contract there since 2018. We provide monthly maintenance on the Medisys BAS, including integrations from third-party devices such as lighting panels and energy meters. And we also similarly provide annual updates of their Medisys software through this contract. And to wrap this up, the workload of the firm, Johnson Controls, is a globally recognized building automation system service provider. We have a dedicated service team that handles service calls 24/7.
Thank you for your presentation. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Any questions?
The second presenter has concluded their presentation. Are there any questions from the evaluation committee for Johnson Controls?
Michael Clary, I have a question. The MetaSys performance verification tool, is that a proprietary item, a piece of software?
Yeah, yes, it is proprietary. It will only run on a Johnson Controls imaged laptop.
So presently the county does not have that software?
No, it's considered a tool that we typically use. The byproduct of the tool would be customer-facing reporting that we provide to our customers, and of course you would have those.
Is it cloud-based, or I think you implied it could also be within the network, the county network?
Okay. No, it resides on, as I said, a JCI image laptop, and then that laptop, if allowed to connect to the county network, it would go out and analyze the system and provide the analytics, or we can utilize the backup from the ADX server, and then we would do it offline.
So I'm trying to get a feel for the package, the entire package. It produces reports that are given to the county, the project manager, and appropriate staff?
Correct, yeah. You would get full customer-facing reports of both the inventory and the performance scan.
One last question.
Those reports are a myriad of details relative to how the system performing and also relative to the inventory of the equipment that makes up your building automation system.
To have that software installed, what type of effort is involved? It's obviously not going to necessarily work seamlessly especially with the 53 buildings that we're talking about and all the sensors and data, is there quite a bit of work to set it up?
No, the tool, again, must reside on a Johnson Controls image laptop. But to utilize the tool is fairly simple. The time it takes to do the analysis of the system is only impacted by the size of the system. So you have a sizable system. It could take, you know, 6 to 8 hours for it to do a full analysis of the automation system there. We're currently using this tool at Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport.
Okay, is it this tool, is it able to integrate with other manufacturers' products as well as their software?
The tool can recognize any device that is BACnet discoverable, but that beyond that, the answer would be no.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, this is Todd Manning. I had a few questions for you, and I appreciate you sharing in your presentation the percentage of devices that's countywide that are JCI controlled. I think you've mentioned it's around 80% of the devices are Johnson controlled. So my question is, obviously, as those components fail, you'll probably come back in and replace those components with like kind of Johnson products. What happens if we have a facility that has Siemens or a Carrier or other devices? Would the intent be to replace those devices with Johnson control devices, or would you go out and replace those devices with the other vendors?
So that's a good question. Thank you for the question. So I think under the terms of the contract, if it's not deemed obsolete, then we would replace it with like for like. So if it's a Siemens product, it's currently viable, then we would use our resources to do it using the Siemens product. If it's an obsolete device, then obviously we would advocate to replace it with a Johnson Controls device.
Okay, thank you. The other question I have is in regard to the current county's integration of a different software system. Obviously, you're using your proprietary system is Medisys, maybe another name now, but how would you integrate your systems in with the current system that the county is using as integration and migration with a different vendor?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I'm not familiar with what the county's approach is with this third-party integration front end. I assume you're talking about.
Sure. Let me ask my subject matter expert here to maybe elaborate on the current integration that's taking place, and maybe you can elaborate, Sean.
Yeah, Sean O'Rourke. Currently we're using an integration software of Dezigo. And that's where Todd's asking the question of how your software would connect to that.
Okay, so Dezigo is no different than Medisys, where either front end, as long as it's a BACnet compliant device, either IP BACnet or MSDP BACnet, it can be discovered by that front end system, whichever of your choosing, and would be compliant to the level that is required to achieve that BTL certification from BACnet testing labs.
All right, thank you. Ian, I'll pass it to you.
Thank you. Hey, John. So we're interested in upgrading our sites to BACnet. What's your process for doing that? What would be your approach?
Well, we have a full complement of BACnet devices, both BACnet IP and BACnet MSTP, that we can use to replace the existing non-BACnet be it RS-485 or whatever the protocol they're currently using, to replace those devices, working you towards getting yourself fully BACnet compliant. It's fairly standard. We do that for a lot of customers. We're fully prepared to do that. As you saw, we do have a dedicated team for upgrades, retrofits, and such. So the beauty there is we can accomplish that while maintaining, our service tasking and a cadence around providing the service at the same time.
Okay. So can you provide some examples of larger projects where you've done migration performed by local staff?
Yeah, well, certainly FAU, one of the customers we showed in our presentation, as well as FIU, two very large college campuses that had similar situation to the county, multiple generations of Metasys, some of which was not BACnet compliant, and we would help to identify using the PVT tool. In fact, help to identify hardware that needed to be upgraded, and then put a plan around upgrading it. What systems would be affected, figuring out how do we keep those systems operational while we're transitioning to the BACnet device, et cetera. And I think the other important thing to point out is, you have a lot of Metasys, and we can, for a fraction of the cost versus a rip and replace with a different vendor's product, a lot of the end devices, sensors and such, could be used, as well as the programming, et cetera. So I think it's ideal. Rather than throw the baby out with the bathwater, just go ahead and migrate the existing product with a newer Metasys product.
Okay, thank you. And then we have some systems that are under contract that are integrated with our smoke evacuation systems. And so we will need to update the hardware if we select Johnson Control, I guess, into Metasys. So describe that process and describe any experience you've had in doing this.
Yeah, so in that case, when you're working with smoke control, the hardware platform has to be UL864 listed for that purpose. An engineer would need to be involved where signed, sealed drawings would need to be filed for permitting. A sequence of operation would need to be developed. The trick is migrating the system, whereas you maintain 100% reliability of the system, so that in the event there is a situation that requires smoke control, the system will continue to operate even while the migration is underway.
Okay, and my final question is, understanding the requirements for staffing under this contract, explain how your recruitment, retaining of staffing, how that you would implement that. And also, are you guys local? I see that your dispatch is in Miramar, but are your offices in Broward? I guess is my question.
Yeah, well, Miramar is in Broward. So yes, we are located in Broward. Our main office here for South Florida is in Broward County. Most of our technicians, in fact, are located in Broward County, with the exception of one or two. As far as capacity, manpower capacity, we do capacity modeling on a regular basis every month. All managers are required to do capacity modeling using your both your backlog and your anticipated forelog to determine, determine what your manpower needs will be. Currently, I am involved in both with Miami Lakes Technical College that has a building automation program, as well as a new program that Miami-Dade College has put together where they are training people for the building automation industry. For Miami Lakes Technical College, I actually sat on the advisory committee for that to steer the curriculum there. And for the Miami-Dade College, we're implementing a somewhat of an apprenticeship program where they will provide training at night, and JCI will hire qualified candidates to serve as apprentices, and then there's a nonprofit organization that kind of supplements their income for the duration of their apprenticeship, and then we have an opportunity to hire them full-time at the end of their apprenticeship program. Beyond that, we've been pretty adept at hiring as needed from our competitors when the opportunity presents itself, or bringing folks from other branches within JCI. That's the beauty of being in Florida. Everybody eventually wants to get to Florida. But we've never had a problem staffing.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions from the evaluation committee? Okay. Thank you, Johnson Controls, for your presentation. The question and answer period is now concluded.
Thank you.
As the team is leaving the meeting, would the purchasing representative invite the third and final presenter, Climax Incorporated, doing business as Mechanical Air Concepts, to the meeting to set up for their presentation. Thank you very much, Johnson Controls.
Thank you for your time today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Has Climax Incorporated joined the meeting?
Yes, we have.
Okay. On the screen, you currently see a list of Broward County employees that are attending the meeting. Some of them have dropped off, but this is a current list of Broward County employees. If you can compare that to the team's list of people that you see and confirm that only your firm or any sub-consultants are in the meeting and Broward County staff.
I confirm.
Okay. Will it just be you in the meeting? No one else?
There's other people in the conference room of my company here.
Okay, I'm making you a presenter, sir.
Okay.
Okay. All right, since you confirm there's no one else in the participants list in the team's meeting, you have 10 minutes to set up for your presentation, and the time starts now.
Thank you. Can you see my screen there?
I see.
Oh,
I see the Teams meeting. I don't see. There you go. We currently now see your screen.
Okay. So I believe I'm ready to begin.
So if you'll make it just the presentation and not the slideshow you see on the left.
Well, that's just for me to navigate the presentation. It's a PDF.
Okay, sir. All right. Give me just a couple of seconds here to reset the timer. Okay, you have 15 minutes for your presentation. Your time begins now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, thank you very much. Good morning. My name is Victor Gomez with Climax Inc.
I'm just going to ask you, excuse me, just one second, if you could speak a little louder so the rest of us can hear you in the room. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Victor Gomez with Climax Inc., DBA Mechanical Air Concepts. It's my pleasure to present for Broward County today our presentation for consideration for the solicitation. And I would like to present today what some of the work that we have done with other entities in helping them with their facilities. I would also like to show you our philosophy and our approach to providing services for the county. And I want to say that this is a very passionate subject for me. I feel this is a David and Goliath battle against the two giants that are presented there. They're industry giants, and we are the little guys. But I would like to show you how we've been able to overcome that with our customers and how they trust us, how they value the way we approach projects, and hopefully be able to be considered. So, this is the presentation of what I'm going to show you, and I know that some of this is very, it might be known to you guys, but I want to describe what is a building automation system. The main problem with building automation systems today, our approach to all of these concerns that we're going to show, and then some case studies here in South Florida of how we've been able to help customers. And partner with them to free them up. So a building automation system is a computerized system to centralize the building's climate system, which accounts for a lot of the energy consumption of a building. And it may include lights, emergency system integration, and other building systems. It's basically, it's got the brains and the philosophy of the building built in, whatever the design engineer wanted to do with that building. It's actually coded into intelligent modules, and that becomes part of an infrastructure and the investment of a building. The main problem that we believe our company exists today is that there is owners have no choice and are trapped by particular vendors. Owners are put in harm's way of planned obsolescence and have very little control of the money they invest, taxpayer dollars, in your case, in the infrastructure of a building that is so important to maintain the building healthy and doing the function. And then this actually leads to another problem, which is that the HVAC systems, the chillers, the air handlers, the VAVs, really cannot be maintained properly unless the building automation system presents accurate information and the building is modeled properly to be able to service in the building. Untrapping the owner is one of our main approaches to free the building owner from this dilemma. We give the owners the ability to choose vendors. We are a master systems integrator. We have worked on many of the systems that you have in the county. We provide a consistent and documented interface. We have chosen an interface to provide that, which is automated logic. It's an interface from Carrier Corporation, and it's top-notch. It's one of the best interfaces in the world. We provide the owners with the ownership of every single tool to be able to service, engineer, and provide self-service, and to give them the choice of doing that if they want to, with the help of a vendor or by themselves, giving them access to training and other things that may be needed to service the building automation system. We try to separate the value proposition of the brand. I have a Siemens Systems, I have a Johnson system, I have a Trane system of a particular vendor. We try to separate that from the vendor to allow healthy competition. We give the end user the ability to get training directly with the manufacturer, as I mentioned, and we give complete access to documentation. Our approach to empowering the owner is to give the owners a clear and easy way to visualize their system with a graphical user interface that is rich, that is standardized, so that one employee of the county, one employee of a company, of a vendor, or another vendor of your choosing would know exactly where to go and what to do and avoid all the many systems that exist and that could exist in with institutions like yourself, which becomes very hard to manage. We give the owner the reporting tools, the alarming tools to fit their business processes, whichever they might be, and adapt to them. We provide the flexible tools to adapt to any workflow that the owner may develop because of their particular situation or business need. Our approach to maintaining the building automation system is very simple. Every building has a design philosophy in it. It is in the mechanical prints, it is in the electrical prints, and we study that. We mark up plans, we identify key components, we determine the sequences of operations, and we document the system, every single work that is done, and we do this in all of our organizational units. We have a test and balance department that currently has a contract with Broward County. This is exactly the way we do it with them. This is exactly the way we do it with the controls. We mark it up, we document it, and we try to put it to the way it's supposed to be. And this is called retrocommissioning. We do it in every single aspect of our business. This is the way we do work orders. There is a very established process where we have developed a standardized process so that whenever you call or you receive service from us, everything is documented the way that is done, and future recommendations are done and final recommendations are given. And this is required. This is our standard developed by us to meet the owners need and add value. I want to show you some players in South Florida that have chosen us because of our integrity, our ability to deliver, and show you how we have been able to help them, how they trusted us. We are not one of the big guys. We're not a huge German company or a company in Milwaukee. We are a local South Florida company given everything we got. So some of you may know about Baptist Health. one of the major players in South Florida, Baptist Health trusts us 24/7 with their facilities. We ask permission from Baptist to show you this, but we take care of more than 2 million square feet of air-conditioned mission-critical facilities for them. We are 24/7 on call with Baptist, and any problem that they have, we take care of. 24/7. There's always three people on call. A dispatcher, an engineer, and a technician. 365 days a week. Baptist had another vendor. They were not performing, and Baptist was able to retain all of their capital investment and basically shop it out. And we won that via our dedication and integrity and reputation and competitive pricing. Baptist trusts us with 35 buildings and 17 are mission critical. There's another case with, this was the old Burger King headquarters, now it's the Lennar Homes headquarters. Pneumatic controls, pneumatic VAVs, smoke evacuation. They had very stringent requirements. We retro-commissioned that building. We did all the mechanical work there to get that up and going. We left some of the old train technology there in place, and we helped the owner have a lower life cycle cost. They left many of the controls that were in there, and we still continue to service them as they slowly transition. So this is 5505. Here's another one with a Siemens facility. This is a Class A building with 16 stories in Coral Gables. The owner was under the impression that they needed to upgrade their whole system from Siemens inside to the SIPO. And we came in and were able to help them preserve 95% of their investment. And from this that you see here, they got this. These are scores of temperature deviations on every floor. And of course, we all know when your kid gets a 90 or above, an A minus, they get a trip to Disney. Well, we actually, this is the way we help them run their buildings. As you can see here, some examples of how this building looked before. And now we have 3D informational graphics and reporting, alarming logic. You can even see the logic behind. There's nothing hidden. This is the way it used to be to do a VAV box. And now everything here is clearly indicated. Unlimited users, no more licensing games, no additional licenses. It's all once and owned by the owner. These are the old floor plans, which doesn't really tell you too much, only the temperatures there. And here are the thermographics floor plans that we do, which show you when things are perfectly within half a degree, or when things are red, color-coded, everything running to perfection. There's another case of a big Siemens facility which took a plunge with us, and they're very happy with us. This is Florida Memorial University with 35 buildings. All of these buildings are under now automated logic and our control, and we have been able to help them get free from vendor, and now they hold us accountable. So here's some more illustrations of what we do with them and how we help them. And here's their dorms and everything being kept under control. Here's one with Johnson N2, 8600 building in Doral. And again, same deal. Customer wants to be free. Here's the Burger King headquarters, runs our controls. and they manage by scores all their floors. And it's a short time, I believe. I only have a minute. But I want to give you some reasons why you should consider us. We are a hungry, young company that wants to change and disrupt the industry. People trust us. We say the impossible is always possible. We understand our value proposition and always try to resolve the issues of the customer. They're our problems. We have helped customers that were trapped into sole-source agreements to free themselves. We have an open systems approach. We have worked on all the systems that you have. The iWork system that you have there, I put it in. The reliable system, I put it in PowerPoint. And we have chosen a platform of integration, automated logic, that is aligned. And we know that if we're no longer the sole source provider.
Thank you very much for your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, do any of the evaluation committee members have questions for Climax Incorporated?
Yeah, I do. Ian Mitchell. So just wanted to clarify your, from what I'm understanding here, you use Carrier, you said, as your building automation integrator or enterprise software?
Carrier owns Automated Logic. The couple of systems there that you have ID were certified on them, and it's a very similar software. We use as our integration platform, the child of Carrier, which is Automated Logic. Very similar to ID that you have in your buildings. Web Control is a platform.
Okay. And, and you've done that with your local staff?
That's correct.
Okay. So we have a few systems under the contract that are integrated with our smoke evac system. And so we'll need, you know, we'll need to update our software. To integrate into this, I guess if we selected you into iView, Carrier iView. Describe the process, how you would do this. And the experience that you've had doing this before, specifically
integrating
the smoke evacuation. So integrating smoke evacuation systems into your building automation system.
Oh well, we've done that into the train smoke evacuation system that existed at 5505. We are managing the smoke evacuation system that is at 355 Alhambra that I showed you in my presentation. The smoke evacuation system, the control system, are different systems. Sometimes they fall under the fire alarm contractor. Sometimes they're part of the controls. They're part of the life safety code of a building. We get involved with them right now with Broward County as the test and balance contractor. We do all the certifications every year. We're familiar with most of them, and it's a system that, if it speaks BACnet, can be tied into any other BACnet building automation system. Most of the commands reside on the BACnet stack as priority one commands. You know, we can go into any details you want to go into how to do it, in a particular situation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other evaluation committee members that have questions? Does the contract administrator have any questions?
How many staff, this is Janice Carter, contract administrator, project manager. How many staff would you have dedicated to this project locally?
Seven. And we could add more.
Are there any other questions? Okay, sir, thank you for your presentation. The question answer period has now concluded. I would ask the, would the purchasing representative invite all the vendors back into the open session for the remainder of the meeting? Sir, thank you very much for your presentation and answering all the questions.
Thank you very much.
You can go back into the open session.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Close it down. Boom.
We're just going to take a brief few minutes waiting for the vendors to come back into the session and staff to join. The presentations, as well as the question-answer period, are now concluded. Is there anything the evaluation committee members would like to discuss at this time? If there's no discussion, we will proceed with scoring of the firms. The evaluation committee will now complete scoring of the firms. However, first, I would like to call on the purchasing division to provide some comments on the scoring sheets.
Madam Chair, the scoring sheets have been distributed to each of the evaluation committee members, including the points for location and points for pricing, which are fixed based on specific criteria in the RFP. The RFP evaluation criteria states that the maximum point shall be assigned to each locally based business and to each joint venture that is composed solely of the locally based businesses. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. When all committee members have completed their scoring and emailed the sheets back to purchasing, I will recess the meeting to allow purchasing time to tabulate the scoring sheets. Purchasing will notify me when they have completed their tabulations, and I will then reconvene the meeting and purchasing will read the results. Are there any questions? Okay, please proceed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All of the score sheets have been turned in. We will now take a recess. The time is 12:43 p.m. and we are in recess.
What, 5 minutes?
About 10 minutes.
How long is the recess?
10, 15
minutes. You know it. That's, I say we. Oh. Come on, brother. I said, what that was.
That's all.
This is a fee.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the next one.
She's ready for divorce.
I'm not sure if it's that or she's just trying to kill me off.
She's ready on the county.
Waiting for your birthday.
Yeah.
He's not many more years.
I saw this guy. He's out of it. He's needless.
You leaving?
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Oh, you're leaving? Why are you leaving?
Definitely,
yeah. I just got here.
Thanks.
Who's being tired?
I'm best
glad
you like a lot of people. You'll get 8 years at the end of this August. That's it.
I'm
speed up, you know, you gotta have help.
That's your own business.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
That's the problem. That's why I'm still working.
And then I have it 7:17, so it's gonna have to fuck me up.
We have music.
But it's like 1 time a year.
China did, but not Japan. Japan's been on the big time for a long time. China was quite
more families to have cable, but it's still getting expensive over there.
Well, they all know about their career than all that. You know
that's
that.
True, too.
That's just a cultural thing for them.
It is. But it's a big problem now because they have no, they don't have any manager to support the owners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any about their real for
these. I agree that. And in China's final budget, that finally, because they were increasing their population for quite some time, and that's finally taken up, and it's now for the LP to have that next year.
So forget the time.
See, that's what I like, the positive.
They're
not, it's just the migration that has happened. Even internally, the migration. We get a lot of people who are applying for jobs in California.
Yeah,
the West is moving east. And always east, some instances, some are moving to Texas.
Yeah, a lot of
they're gradually moving from west because there's some issues out there. Water for what?
Yeah.
Climate change.
Fires.
Fires. Yeah. I would move west of Texas. Far west of Alabama. Yes. And we have another 100
that could be driving up the real estate market too.
Of course.
You sell.
Sell all day long.
You gotta leave. You gotta go somewhere
where it's
cheap.
Goodbye.
Yeah. You better get out of South Florida.
And that's those places that get followed people.
I was looking in North Carolina. I couldn't find myself there either. But my daughter was not wrong. They're building a lot up there too. There's a lot of corporations coming in there. Amazon and all those people.
We didn't go to North Carolina. You're retired from another time, and you definitely retired, and you definitely have to be different from the year back in the mobile, flexible. It's not.
Maybe that one of those tiny houses,
put some wheels on it?
Yeah. You know, there's a tree in a little tiny home.
Most people are leaving the country as well, going to Caribbean, Mexico, expats, and even now, just so much money goes to the club.
Very hiring on cruise ships.
That is true too.
They're hiring on cruise ships.
Yeah, cheaper to go on a cruise ship than just to pay for, home or a
movie. Oh, you're moving everything.
On a cruise ship. Can't pay them.
That's true. Never thought of that one. I don't like
being out of war. Oh, that's it. There's a way to live
up.
Costa Rica. That's the lot of people look into it.
Yeah, that's really popular.
There's a nice little
yeah.
Oh, definitely. Right? Good little bunch of them stuff.
The water is going to be the key, so you know what's going on. Lots of water. There is a water issue.
What?
Anywhere where there's not a water issue.
Costa Rica has the best blue zone.
Yeah.
It's one of the healthiest zones.
world something that gives us that does make the air quality, the water quality, and all that.
I would like to reconvene the meeting. The time is now 1:09 p.m. Purchasing, would you please announce the scores?
Good afternoon. Can everyone see the screen?
Can you make it a little larger? You don't need to show the bottom part of the summary score sheet.
Let me know when it's good.
That's good.
Okay. The scores are as follows. Michael Cleary, EC member Michael Cleary, firm, Primex Inc., DBA, Mechanical Air Concepts, score 72.98, Johnson Controls Inc., 82.00, Siemens Industry Inc., 77.28. EC member Todd Manning, Primex Inc., DBA, Mechanical Air Concepts, score 56.98, Johnson Controls Inc., 85.00, Siemens Inc., 74.28. EC member Ian Mitchell score, Climax Inc., DBA Mechanical Air Concepts, 67.98, Johnson Controls Inc., 84.00, Siemens Inc., Siemens Industry Inc., 84.28. David Stouffer, EC member David Stouffer scores, Climax Inc., DBA Mechanical Air Concepts, 65.98, Johnson Controls Inc., 80.00, Siemens Industry Inc., 80.28. EC member Jeff White scores, Climax Inc., DBA Mechanical Air Concepts, 60.98, Johnson Controls Inc., 80.00, Siemens Industry Inc., 85.28. I will now read the total scores. Total score, Climax Inc., DBA Mechanical Air Concepts, 324.91. Johnson Controls Inc., 411.00. Siemens Industry Inc., 401.41. The ranking orders are as follows. Rank number one, Johnson Controls Inc. Number two, Siemens Industry Inc. Number three, Climax Inc., DBA Mechanical Air Concepts. This concludes the reading of the scores.
Thank you. May I have a motion to accept the evaluation committee's scores and have purchasing post the proposed recommendation of ranking for approval?
Ian Mitchell, I would like to make a motion to accept the evaluation committee's scores and have purchasing post the proposed recommendations of ranking for approval.
May I have a second?
Jeff White, I second the motion.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. The recommendation of ranking is posted on the Purchasing Division website under the heading Solicitation Recommendations, Recommendation of Ranking. The Evaluation Committee recommendation will be posted for 3 days as a proposed recommendation of ranking. Following this 3-day period, if no objections to the proposed ranking have been received in writing by the Director of Purchasing, a final recommendation of ranking will be posted. If no vendor timely objects or protests, the ranking shall be final. provided that no county commissioner objects within 5 business days after receiving notice from the purchasing division of the final ranking. The award of the resulting contract requires formal board approval unless the contract amount award of the resulting contract requires the amount is within the director of purchasing authority. Information and documents received by the evaluation committee members as part of the evaluation process are posted for general review on the purchasing division website located at the RFP RLI supporting documents repository. Video recordings of this meeting are also available in the RLI RFP repository. We estimate the final agreement will come to the board for approval and execution within 45 days from the final approval of ranking. Is there any other business that needs to be discussed? Okay, the meeting is adjourned. The time is 1:14 p.m. I want to thank all the presenters for their participation in this solicitation. I want to thank all the evaluation committee members for your time and dedication to this process. Thank you.
Thank you.